Good morning and welcome to our service. We hope that the service is a blessing to you. Today we are commemorating the life of John Huss, the great martyr from the 1400s. We want to welcome Cindy Steele back with us. We're so delighted that she's here today. And her first piece will be God Bless America, which was composed by a man that we know as Irving Berlin, but his given name at birth was Israel Berlin. And Irving was a great patriot and was a great champion of civil rights here in the United States. We're also welcoming today Colin Welford. Now, Colin has been here for a while, but now we're welcoming him as the musical director of Ephraim Moravian Church. The first time I met him was at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I was speaking that day, and Colin happened to be the pianist. And I thought to myself, well, you know, he's a good piano player. And then afterwards, I asked someone, do you think he could play the organ too? And we invited him to practice on the organ, and after I heard him practice for the first time, he immediately received a key to the church. Well, the rest is history, and we're so delighted that he is with us this day and for the foreseeable future. He does not know what he's gotten himself into, but we'll break him in gently. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Storm clouds gather, Our call to worship is taken from Psalm chapter 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. The Reverend Corey Kemp writes this week's reflection. God had big plans for Isaiah. Isaiah was called as a prophet by God, just as the nation of Israel was being threatened by the expansion of another empire. It was Isaiah's job to proclaim this reality as a warning from God. As happens with most prophets, Isaiah became frustrated that no one was listening to him, that his work was in vain, and his strength was fading rapidly. Even though he believed that God called and equipped him, by the time we meet up with him in today's scripture reading, the work itself feels pointless. In response, God gives him an even bigger job. Not only will Isaiah keep proclaiming Israel's need to return to God, now his work will expand to include proclaiming God's glory to all nations. So curious, isn't it? God didn't judge Isaiah's frustration as a liability for further advancement in the kingdom. God saw a dedicated servant following direction, staying the course, and that his servant was ready for more responsibility. God's strength, mercy, and loving kindness further equipped him to step into this role that had been destined for him before he was born. We are, like Isaiah, called to our larger role in God's kingdom. Make no mistake, these are hard times. Who knows, or who knew, that God's big plan for you and me included this pandemic? And yet, here we are. Not unlike Isaiah, we are called to be here in this time, in this place, blessed and further blessed by God's delight in giving us more than we expected, much more than we may think we can handle or have strength to do. And yet, the Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. Please join us as we sing God of the Ages, Whose Almighty Hand.
Before my throne,
We come to that point of the service when we bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns. We are so grateful to God that Andre and Mikey are recovering from COVID-19. We're so grateful to God that Kay is home from rehab and recovering well. We want to remember Dean in our prayers. We want to remember Doug, who had a fall, in our prayers. And we want to remember young Jaden Michael, who continues to struggle after being in the NICU. We believe he is still there. So let us turn our hearts to prayer. Lord, we are so grateful that we could be here today, so grateful for your mercy and your compassion, which is upon us all. We're so grateful that Andre and Mikey are recovering from COVID-19. We're so grateful that Kay is home from the hospital and rehab. We ask that you would continue to strengthen them. We ask that your grace would surround Dean as he struggles with cancer, that your grace would uphold Doug as he recovers from his fall. Friend of little children, please be with Jaden Michael, that you would give the doctors and the nurses healing hands, that you would calm his parents. We ask that you would be with us today as we reflect on the life of John Huss, as we bring ourselves to you in an uncertain time. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Our scripture lesson is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. "Listen to me, O coastlands, pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away. And he said to me, 'You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified.' But I said, 'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God.' And now the Lord says, 'Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength,' he says. 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. To one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to talk to all the discouraged patriots out there. Now, when I say the word patriots, we think that America defined that term, but that is not the case. Patriotism is a term that can be found in the ancient Greek and Roman society. And this is what it means: love of law and liberty, the search for the common good, and the duty to behave justly. So I want to talk to you about a patriot today. He was not an American patriot. He predates America by a few hundred years. His name was John Huss. And talk about a discouraged patriot. This was a man who loved his country. He was born in the Kingdom of Bohemia, which is now the Czech Republic. If you ever go to the Czech Republic today and you visit the city of Prague, you will see an enormous monument to his memory. John Huss was a priest, and in those days that meant that he was in an elitist class. The priests were the ones who had the money. They were the ones who had the power. They were the ones who not only spoke religion, but also spoke policy in their countries. And John Huss loved his country very much, and it had afforded him a wonderful living. But what he was finding was that the very means of grace that he could partake in, the very means of grace that he understood because he could read the Bible, were not given for everyone. And so the peasant class, those who were illiterate, were blocked off from the very means of grace that he enjoyed. And as he preached, as he taught, he saw the tremendous gulf between himself and everyone else. But John Huss was a patriot, so he wanted to promote the common good. And one of the things that was happening in his day was the institutional church had co-opted the means of salvation and were telling people that in order to get their ticket punched to heaven, they had to pay a little more into the coffers. And when they paid their dues, that money was used to fund wars. Now, for the rich, that wasn't a big problem. You just throw a few extra coins in. But for those in poverty, who had a difficult enough life anyway, and were looking forward to the afterlife, they were literally taking the money out of their mouths, out of their children's mouths. They were taking food out of their mouths to put into that pot to fund a war. And John Huss saw the evil of this, and he preached against it. Now, here's the thing about patriots, about people who want to live justly and morally, people who want to look for the common good. They're not often heralded by the powers that be. And that was the same for John Huss. For his trouble, he was excommunicated. He was driven out of his chapel. He preached in the countryside, and people flocked to hear him. Ultimately, he was tried. He was arrested and tried and burned at the stake. And as they marched him to his execution, this lover of people, this man who had tried to lift everyone up and to bring the church that he loved back to the basics and to the truth, watched as they set all his books aflame. They destroyed his life, and they scattered his ashes to the four winds. And I think of that scripture in Isaiah where he says, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. But you see, those who promote the common good, those who do the will of God, it is not in vain. For as Isaiah says, my cause is with the Lord. John Huss could not have known that 605 years after the fact, we're still talking about him. We are heirs of his legacy. And it's the same with anyone who is promoting the common good, who is a patriot today. You think of all the patriots that are taking care of the sick and dying in this land. I think of the patriots who went to New York, so many nurses, when New York was exploding with COVID-19, nurses came from all over the country to help out. And some knew that in going to New York, they were putting their own lives in jeopardy and their jobs on the line. And yet they came. They were patriots. There are people who, because they came, lost their lives. They were patriots. And those lives were not in vain. God has seen every one of them. And every time we put ourselves in a position of promoting the common good, God amplifies that. Now, maybe we won't be as famous as John Huss, and 600 years later, people still talk about us, but the work that we do will last. When we are craven, when we are selfish, that work dies with us. But when we promote the common good, that lives on from generation to generation to generation. God says, all who promote the common good, they'll be a light to this sorry world. Would you join me in being a patriot this day, in promoting justice, in promoting mercy, in promoting all the means of grace to those around us? Would you do that with me? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the patriotism of John Huss. We thank you that he never wavered, even in the face of death. We ask, O Lord, that you would help us to rise up and be that same light in our families, in our community, and throughout this world. In Jesus' name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, in the name of Jesus. Amen.